Greetings. I am your host, Demetria Graves, and this is Legally Uncensored. Today, we are going to be discussing a very interesting topic. When is it okay, or should you date while you're going through a divorce? And I'll tell you how that came about in just a couple of minutes. As you all know, I am an attorney and certified family law specialist in the Los Angeles area. And today I am excited because I have a very special guest to help us with this topic. Please introduce yourself, Allison.
Yes. So hello, everyone. My name is Allison. I am a dating and relationship coach, and I primarily work with singles to help them find the love and commitment that they deserve.
Awesome. Thank you for being with us today.
Yes, ma'am.
So over the last couple of days, Miss Portia Williams has broke the internet. Just for those who don't know who Portia Williams is, she is part of the Real Housewives franchise, Real Housewives of Atlanta. And a couple of days ago, she came out that she was engaged to one of her, I'm going to call her associate because she says she's not her friend. Mm-hmm. Her husband. What is your take on that?
So I actually did a live stream yesterday in regards to this topic. And before I even started the live, I went into my stories on Instagram and I asked people for their definition of friendship versus an acquaintanceship. Mm-hmm. Now, in all fairness, the way that Fallon, the acquaintance, so to speak, was presented on the show, she was presented with the title of friend, right?
Right.
Again, who knows? Because this is television and this is not reality. So I'm sure that it's not as easy to say Portia's acquaintance.
Right.
But nonetheless, she's a friend. They were up in each other's houses, swimming in the pools, eating snacks, drinking. They have some photos together where they're close, sitting next to each other. And so I think the first step needs to be an analysis of how folks define friendship versus acquaintanceship. So we know that Portia has already come online and said that this person was not my friend. They were an acquaintance. And so based on the very limited research I did with my followers, they are in agreement to say that a lot of folks are willing to date the exes of acquaintances. Mm-hmm. So based on my live stream that I did and all the comments I received, based on my stories and the responses I received, folks do feel a little bit comfortable dating folks who are the exes of acquaintances. But I do think that there needs to be some more conversation around what some people define as a friendship and what some people might view as a friendship, maybe an acquaintance to somebody else in that same relationship. So I think that is a part of the problem as well.
Yeah, I would love to hear what Fallon has to say. We haven't heard from her, except that she's kind of focusing on finishing the divorce, which we'll get to in a minute. But that's interesting. I want to know from her if she felt that they were friends, considering, from what I understand, she invited Portia over to her house. I know I saw a clip and Portia was saying how nice she was, how cool she was. So I would be interested to hear what she has to say. Because it can be that Portia thinks that they're not friends, but maybe she did. Because I don't know about you, but I don't invite a lot of acquaintances to my house to swim and drink and do that sort of thing. So I will be very interested to see what she has to say.
Yes, I agree with you. I think there's so many factors here that are different from us regular folks. Like, who's to say that, you know, visiting the houses in regards to Fallon and Simon had more to do with exposure for their business. This is a television opportunity. So now we're going to present ourselves as friends because really this is more of an opportunity for me to be on television, for me to promote my business, but really we don't have that relationship.
Right.
How much it has to do with, this was an excellent point that one of my followers brought up yesterday on the live stream. And she said that Hollywood people are different. And even though they're in Atlanta, they're still Hollywood type folks.
Right.
They will exchange and switch out and recycle each other all the day long, where regular folks like you and I don't normally do that. And so the culture within television, radio, and movies and music is a lot different. The standards are different. Someone else said that perhaps has to do with an issue of location.
Right.
Where in Atlanta, at least historically, and I've never lived in Atlanta. This is no judgment of Atlanta, but at least what I've heard historically is that Atlanta has a lot of gay men, but straight women. And so the competition is very tough. So right. if you are a Black woman who wants to date and be with Black men, you're not going to have the same opportunities as you would, let's say, in New York, where I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is that a legitimate factor? That's up for debate.
Right.
So I think there's a lot that needs to be peeled back. And I think that if and when Phelan decides to speak and say what her position is and how she viewed the relationship between herself and Portia, then I think that would be worthy to listen to.
How do you feel? I know there was some discussion that Simon, the husband in question, was also friends with the father of Portia's child. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so that's my understanding as well, that they, Simon and Dennis, which mm-hmm. is the fiance and the child's father, my understanding is that their relationship of friendship, that title is clear as day. There's nothing murky about it. There's nothing questionable. They were friends. And based on the photos that Portia posted on Mother's Day, it seems as though they still have at least a rapport. I think mm-hmm. that men and women have different standards, different mm-hmm. definitions. You know, there's this, what's the expression? I think it's something along the lines of, it ain't no fun if the homies can't get none. You know, or bros, you know, bros over hoes and things like that.
Right.
So I don't think that women think about or have the same rules that men do. And mm-hmm. so even though she was a fiance and even though she's the mother of his child, maybe he's just not as pressed. Maybe he wasn't that invested. I don't watch the show. So this is just me like doing my Googles. Mm-hmm. So maybe he was never that invested in her anyway.
Maybe well, he was pretty invested, Allison. They were engaged. He was trying to get her back. Even I watched the show. And, you know, up through this season, he was trying to get back with her, men, at least on the show, you know.
Right.
And that's what we have to understand. It is reality TV. So I don't know how much was for the show or how much he really felt about it. But mm-hmm. it was interesting to me that he seemed really, really comfortable in the photos and, you know, wished them congratulations. So who knows?
Absolutely.
On the male side.
I was going to say that, you know, how much of it is for rent, how much of it is for a check, how much of it is to, I'm going to pretend as though, and she might be on it too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying mm-hmm. she's a fool, mm-hmm. but how much of it is I'm going to try my best to stay on this show for as long as possible so I can continue to push my social media following, which by default should positively impact my revenue for my business. So as long as I say, baby, please, baby, please, baby, please, that's more episodes, which means a larger following, which means should mean it should correspond to more business. So we just don't know how much truth is behind everything.
Right. So I want to bring it back a little bit because I'm a divorce attorney. So it's not uncommon for me to see that men and women date while they're going through a divorce during that separation stage. And what I've learned is although someone might be going through a divorce, it is quite possible they checked out months before the process even began.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts or what advice do you give clients who want to date during that separation period while they're going through a divorce? Because I hear a lot of people saying this is foul. He's a married man. This shouldn't be happening. But I know it's common. And what is your take on that?
So I agree with you. My understanding is that many times before anyone files any paperwork, a lot of times there's already been a separation, a physical separation where the couple no longer cohabitates, an emotional separation for months or years before people actually file the documents. And then, as you know, those documents may take months or years to even, you know, be finished and complete right. and the divorce finalized. So I don't have a hard and fast rule that says that a person cannot go out on a date. A person cannot communicate until their divorce is finalized. I don't believe that per se. I think that once both parties understand that this relationship is over, and I have a rule that says that both parties can no longer live together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it's fair for you to introduce someone to your circumstances and your living situation is not organized.
Right.
So can I roll up in front of your house to pick you up? If I have to pee, I can't even come inside. Like that's awkward. It's uncomfortable. So my rule is once both parties have an understanding that this relationship is over and both parties do not live in the same space, then you are free to date. Now, whether or not you should be getting engaged again,
you know, that was coming. Right.
I think that that's crossing the line. Like, please let the ink dry.
Right.
And then we can formally move on with our lives in regards to engagement and planning a wedding, you know, a second, third, whatever wedding moving forward.
And I know we said that sometimes people are checked out, you know, people want to move forward. But how do we know, or what tips can you give for someone who is considering dating someone separated, that that person is actually emotionally ready? Because the divorce process is hard. That brings up a lot. You know, reorganizing your family after you've been with someone for a year, two, three, five, 15 years. How do you know that that person is actually ready and not actually rebounding from their previous relationship?
Mm-hmm. So I would say that that process of figuring out and vetting whether or not someone is ready to move on from a divorce is very similar to, or the same as, you figuring out if someone's ready to move on from a long-term relationship. Like, obviously, when someone is married and going through a divorce, it's more complicated, right? Because right. you have to go through legal steps. And then you have to talk about like splitting up of assets and things of that nature. But if you're dating someone who has recently ended a long-term relationship, especially if they cohabitated, especially if they have children, it's going to be very similar. And actually, in some cases, depending on how long the couple was married or depending whether or not they have children or if they even have assets together, dealing with someone who's going through a divorce might actually be easier than dealing with someone who went through a long-term relationship where they lived together, had businesses together, have children together. Mm-hmm. So the process would be similar. And honestly, I don't think that there's any hard and fast rules. It would just really be up to conversation. Like, you just need to talk to the person about where they are in their lives emotionally, where they are in the divorce proceedings, like how far along are they? I think one of the telltale signs is when you begin to date, if the person begins to immediately talk about their ex without it ever being a question. So If I'm on a date with someone, this is our first date, and I'm asking, how is their day today? What do they do for a living? Regular conversation. And every other word is, oh, well, my day was fine until my ex-wife called me. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know, work is okay. It's been a little bit tough because my ex-wife used to pack lunches for me. And like, if every other thing that is involved in your life, you're bringing up your ex, then I think that you haven't moved on. Like, allow me to ask you about your ex and your relationship and how things are as you transition. But if this person is just willfully, constantly bringing up their ex, and it clearly has nothing to do with the conversation at hand, then that would be the number one telltale sign that they're not ready. But people can mask that. So right. It's not easy. What I would recommend, if you're really concerned, is that maybe you just need to wait it out. Maybe if this person is still actively involved in their divorce, and this is not someone you should date right now, and if it's meant to be, you'll circle back.
Right. What are some tips you have for someone that is going through the divorce process and considering getting into a serious relationship like engagement? Do you recommend that they wait, or that they do some type of coaching to make sure that they're ready to move on, or just have at it? What are your tips?
I think that if someone feels confident about moving on with their life romantically, even if they're still engaged in a divorce proceeding, like the divorce proceeding is still occurring. Mm-hmm. Well, one, again, I do believe you should finish your lunch, finish
meal before like
you move
that.
On, right? Mm-hmm. Before you move on to dessert, move right. on, wait. So I would not recommend engagement. Mm-hmm. I think that dating is appropriate if you feel like you're ready. Now, if you're questioning that you're ready, then yes, you should see a counselor, a therapist, a coach. Let them ask you those deep questions to make sure that you really are in a position to move on if you're questioning it. But if you're confident, mm-hmm. if you say, you know, we actually emotionally separated years ago, this is just paperwork. We're not even contesting everything. We're on the same page in regards to assets. We're on the same page in regards to alimony or child support or visitation. Mm-hmm. And if you feel prepared to move on, then you should move on. If you're questioning it, then you should see a professional.
Right. What I've noticed and what I've seen in the process is someone might think they're ready, and they get into the process, you know, making plans for children and houses, and they realize they need to focus on that. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people get into it and then realize, oh my God, there's some things I still need to work through. And I think that's one of the dangers of getting involved with someone in that, you know, in that space, because you don't know how they're going to feel. Mm-hmm. There's been spouses that have tried to work it out with the ex, and they realize maybe this isn't done. And then the person they're dating, you know, is hurt because they were trying to stick with this person. So there are downfalls to trying to date someone in this space. Would you agree?
Oh yeah. Like there's definitely a risk. There's always a risk that couple can work it out. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're talking about a married couple or formerly married, or I guess they're still married until the divorce goes through. Right.
Right.
You're talking about a married couple. There's always, I think there's going to be an increased chance that one of the two parties are going to try to make it work more than your standard romantic relationship. We have so many years in, we have all these assets that are tied up together. We have all this invested. And so if that's the case, if you have someone, either the person you're seeing or the other party, who's really making an effort to reconnect, then it's going to complicate things. I have a friend who's engaged to be married to her ex-husband right now. Mm-hmm. So they just became engaged on her birthday 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. So to the idea that a married couple will try a little bit harder, I think is valid. And I think they kind of should. Like if we're married, we should try a little bit harder. Let's try a second time. If we have children, if we have assets, let's try a third time, which is going to be a risk to the person who's seeing them. So maybe if you want to doubly protect yourself, maybe you do ask for a little bit more time. You ask for the divorce to go through, even though that's not 100%.
Right.
You take it slow with the dating. You don't rush into things. If they ask for your hand in marriage, you say, let's wait a little while. Let's make sure that both parties feel the same way so you can choose to take it slow.
Right. And in this, back to Portia in this situation, I've noticed that men tend to move faster than women in this space. And I noticed, is her name Fallon or Phelan?
I don't know how it's pronounced because I don't watch the show. Okay. But Fallon.
So she came out and said, look, I'm focusing on the divorce. And this man is fully, at least from the optics, moved on and engaged. Why do you think men tend to move on a little faster than women?
I think that many times women romanticize marriage more than men do. Mm-hmm. I think that men have a better understanding of the practicality, the financial benefits, and the business of marriage. And so if you have a man who is marriage minded and wants to be married, but he's realized that this marriage that he is in currently is not working, then he will be more inclined to move on and become married again. Versus women who I think, again, romanticize it. And so by being divorced or going through the process of a divorce and then looking to be married again, it might have been so emotionally strenuous for them. So being married for a second or third time might be overwhelming. I also think that there's judgment that's attached where when a marriage fails, the impression in society is that the woman is the one who did not either do the right things as a wife, or if her husband is the one who's wrong, so to speak, it's still because she didn't. If she would have done more, then he would not have done blank. Mm-hmm. And so if the woman is the one who is more responsible for the success or the failure of a marriage, then to do it again, it's like, well, sis, you didn't even get it right the first time. You sure you want to do this again? Mm-hmm. Where if a guy is able to leave a marriage with the implication that he did not do wrong, then it's a lot easier for him to do it a second, third, or fourth time.
Right. Now, a lot of times what I also see is the new significant other kind of oversteps their bounds, right? So they want to be in the middle of this divorce proceeding. They want to give advice to their significant other. They want to be involved with the children. They kind of overstep their boundaries. So what advice would you give to the new boo, we'll call this person, if they're dating someone going through this process?
Well, I first want to push back a little bit and say that who's to say that that is a boundary that they're crossing? Like that's our judgment, right?
Right.
Like that, you know, if this is, you're just a girlfriend and so you don't have a right. And like, just for an example, right? It could be just a boyfriend, but you're just a girlfriend. And so you don't have a right to have an opinion on what we should be doing in our proceedings. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's up for debate. I think that's arguable. I think that anyone who has valuable advice can give it. I think that a friend can give valuable advice. I think that a parent can give valuable advice. Now, if they're stepping in and arguing and making things more difficult between the legally married couple so that they can proceed and they're complicating the situation, then I think that's what's problematic. But I don't think there's anything wrong with offering advice or standing up for your partner mm-hmm. where and when appropriate, meaning you're not complicating things or making it more difficult. But go ahead. Were you going to say something?
Yes, I'm speaking from the space of sometimes I go to court. And, you know, it's already kind of tense when you're in divorce court as it is. It's very mm-hmm. emotional most times, you know. And then significant other comes to court with their partner. Mm-hmm. And if we're trying to resolve the business of the divorce, sometimes seeing significant other increases the emotions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes significant other is there, you know, to kind of poke at the other party.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean in terms of boundaries. Like you're inserting yourself into maybe spaces that only complicates the already emotionally charged process.
Mm-hmm. So yes, yeah, so if this person is there to be problematic or to make things more difficult, then yes. But again, that would be the case for anybody. So if it's mm-hmm. his mama who's mm-hmm. there
right.
and she poking at, and you a hoe anyway, and I knew my son should never marry you. Like anybody who is in the presence of these two people to make things more complicated is not helping. They're only hurting. But I mean, I could imagine that if I was dating someone who's going through a divorce and his wife, because it's still legally married,
right,
was being irrational, then I would say something too. You mm-hmm. know, like I don't think that's outrageous. And I think that there are many cases where either party is irrational. And I think I like what you said when you said the business mm-hmm. of divorce or the business of marriage. So if we're here for the business and someone is present in the courtroom, I need you to focus on the business.
Right.
Right. Like they're not saying, if they're saying something to you, then I guess the judge needs to hold them in contempt. Or I don't know. I don't even know if that's a real thing. But just presence, like, well, we're here for the business. You need to remain focused.
Right. I also sometimes make it a rule that don't bring your significant other, right? Because if we're close to settlement, we're close to finishing something and you bring a third party that you know is going to upset your spouse, that just makes it harder for us, right?
Right.
So if there's not an understanding, if your spouse still is kind of triggered by that other party, let's leave them at home. You know, mm-hmm. I appreciate their support. Yay. But that doesn't help. Sometimes parties are, you know, they both have significant others. They moved on and, you know, that's great. But if you know your spouse is going to be triggered by that person, let's leave them at home.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I would think it is best to just stay at home. If their presence is going to complicate the situation, because I would imagine that the new boo wants this to end as quickly as possible. And so to facilitate that, stay your ass at home.
You would think it was that easy, but I think sometimes the new boo is trying to find their grounding in the relationship. So they want to make sure that everyone knows that they exist and sometimes overstep in their participation in the business of what I'm trying to complete. So mm-hmm. that's when it becomes a problem when they, especially when children are involved, when they want to be super mom or super dad, either one. That's when it's a problem. Like, we understand that you exist, but this is all really complicated. So we all need to maybe define our roles in how we're going to do this process. What's done after the process is everyone's business, but let's have some ground rules of how this is going to happen.
Yep. Especially if that new boo had any dealings with why that relationship is now coming to an end.
Right. Right. Oh, and, you know, yeah. The other side always assumes that that person was there before, you know, the mm-hmm. demise of the relationship. So mm-hmm. it's always emotionally charged if they were there or not. Right. Because I hear a lot about maybe Portia was there before and they're mm-hmm. just saying she was there at this month period. But that seems really, really fast to a lot of people. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But that can create some problems. And another area where it creates problems is where children are involved. In this particular case, Portia's child is very young, so I don't know if that is a factor here. Mm-hmm. What would you say if children are involved? I know this man, Simon, has 5 or 6 children,
mm-hmm.
and they might see this on social media, feel away. Maybe they're still very connected to Fallon, and I apologize if I'm, you know, mispronouncing her name. Mm-hmm. How do we deal when children are involved? Because sometimes they get lost in the shuffle of all of this.
So in regards to folks who are on television, I feel like anyone who's in reality TV or on reality TV has already calculated that the risk is worth the reward. Mm-hmm. So if you are involved in reality television, and especially when it's reality, like not like, like Big Brother, right? Like not like the kind of reality TV that's like uplifting and The Biggest Loser. Like if you're in drama reality TV, you have already made the decision that the risk to your children in regards to exposure or embarrassment or being teased at school because they calling mommy this, they calling daddy that, they've already decided that the risk is worth the reward. And that's their choice as adults and as parents. Mm-hmm. But for common folks who aren't in the limelight, but they are going through a divorce, they have children, and it gets muddled, my recommendation would be to try your best to keep your children out of your drama. If you need to step outside, go in the car to have the conversations with your soon-to-be ex, if you think it's going to be heated, then do that. Just try to shield them as much as possible. Try your best not to insult them and use the, you know, you acting just like your father. You're greedy just like your father. You're selfish just like your father. My mom and my dad were formally divorced when I was 13. They probably were separated maybe for years before the formal divorce. Mm-hmm. My mom did a really good job of not throwing around those insults. I probably got it like 3 times in my whole life. Like, you definitely just like your father type of thing.
Right.
And I don't think that it negatively impacted me or the way that I look at my dad, because my mom did a really good job of holding her tongue. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure there were other instances that she wanted to talk shit and she didn't.
Right.
But I think that's your best bet. Having your arguments as far away as possible from the children, shielding them from the conflict, reminding them how much you love them and how your separation has nothing to do with them, and not slinging insults, comparing in a negative way your child to the other person.
Right. Great advice. So what advice, as we go forward, would you give to Portia, Simon, and Fallon right now as we navigate this wonderful world of social media, this world of judgment? What advice would you have for each of them, if any?
Mm-hmm. So what I would say is, obviously, we don't know their truth. We don't know how much is true versus what's not.
Right.
And so based on the very limited information, which is probably curated and pre-written.
Right.
I would advise all parties to stay off of social media. Like, anytime that you are a public figure and you are being perceived in a negative way, I don't think that there's any benefit to being online. A lot of people are...
Even for reality TV?
Yep, stay off.
Okay.
Even if you're a public figure, stay off. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, for what benefit? You have staff. Like, if you need to make a public statement, you should have... what do you call those people who work for... Who, like, write public statements and...
Mm-hmm. Publicists?
Yeah, publicists. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have one already, which is a part of the social media problem in the last 10 years,
right,
is that there's just this easy access to celebrities, and celebrities just go out and blurt things without mm-hmm. any kind of structure, right? The A-list right. celebrities, for the most part, still use publicists, like we had with J-Lo and A-Rod, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we need to have a joint statement. It should be curated. Like, we're not just going on live and just talking for the sake of talking and then making ourselves look worse. You have a publicist. They make your public statements. You have a staff that can respond accordingly. You need to just take a break, because I can't imagine for any sane person that this stuff doesn't hurt their feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine that, you know, Portia can post and say hashtag love wins, but reading it and hearing about people saying negative things about her has to hurt.
No she matter. She came out yesterday and basically said, we don't care.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The mm-hmm. people who say it are the ones who write hashtag unbothered are bothered.
Right.
Because if you're making the effort to come out and say something, you're bothered. Right. If you're making, well, we don't care, you care. Because right. if you didn't, you'd be posting anything.
Right.
So people care. We're humans. Now, of course, those who have been in the limelight for years are going to have a thicker skin than the average person. Like, even for me, like when some of my posts have been posted on other pages and I read the comments, mm-hmm. it becomes easier over time when people, oh, she's stupid and I did whatever.
Right.
It hurts at first, and then it's gotten a little bit easier. And I have nothing near to the following and the exposure that these celebrities have. Right. It hurts.
Right.
It makes it a little bit easier, but it hurts. Stay offline. Take a little bit of a break. You can still have, you know, your people post on your behalf, but you don't have to do it. And just allow some of this stuff to kind of die down. Right. That'd be this for Portia, for Fallon. Fallon is coming across, or Phelan, I apologize too. She's coming across kind of as the victim. So if she wants to engage, and then that's fine, because I assume most people aren't on the attack for her. Mm-hmm. Simon, even though he seems to be just as guilty, and as a matter of fact, he was the one, or is the husband, he's a man, so he's getting away with it. People right. aren't on the attack for him, but if he does feel annoyed or upset about any negativity around him or around his relationship, stay offline. That's my idea. Like, I don't understand on like cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. Power it off. Get off the phone. It will save you.
Yeah, I saw that both of them turned off their comments. So that goes to your point that maybe they do care more than they're putting on. And what I've told people, because everyone is like, what do you think? I don't know. I've learned in my years, you don't know what circumstances people get themselves into. If it works for them, if they like it, I love it. There are risks involved in dating someone in that space between separation and divorce. Mm-hmm. Does it make her a horrible person or him a horrible person? It is what it is.
Yep. Well said.
So with that, I want to thank you so much, Allison. I just love you to death. I think you are extremely brilliant. And I am so happy that you joined us today. Can you tell everyone where to find you?
Yes. So you can find me on every social media platform, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Clubhouse, at Align with Allison, A-L-I-G-N with Allison, A-L-I-S-O-N. My website is also alignwithallison.com.
Thank you so much, Allison. And again, I am your host, Demetria Graves. I am also on all your social media platforms, Demetria.GravesESQ and Demetria Graves. Thank you so much for joining us for Legally Uncensored.